Santa Fe's art market is the third largest in the country. Behind New York and Los Angeles, Santa Fe has one of the highest densities of gallery spaces. According to the Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce, there are over 250 galleries in the city. So how does this marketplace interact with artists living and working in Santa Fe? I spoke with Santa Fe Youth Poet Laureate Artemisio Romero y Carver. His work goes beyond writing. He is a performer and organizer working with other local artists to present the work of the community. He says the gallery scene feels separate from the work he and his peers are doing.
There is a pretty distinct difference between some of the art that's being made, especially by like people of color locally, and the spaces that are showing art, and they tend to want to show often white artists, sometimes not always white artists, not often local artists, and they don't have a strong connection to what's happening accurately in Santa Fe as a whole space.
The galleries are mostly concentrated in Santa Fe's Northern Historic District. The art scene in which Romero y Carver is at home lives on the south side. And while some galleries do show local artists, Romero y Carver feels they are being exploited.
Canyon Road pimps out cultures, and they're often the cultures of people who are not represented in terms of the staff, in terms of the ownership in Canyon Road.
Canyon Road is one of Santa Fe's most concentrated gallery stretches. Developed by mostly white transplant artists moving here throughout the 1900s, ownership is not represented by the local population, and many of the people buying work are coming in from out of town. Romero y Carver suggests that the Santa Fe art scene is endemic of the wider segregation issues prevalent in the city of Santa Fe.
The Santa Fe art scene echoes, I think, sometimes even premises the divisions that already exist in Santa Fe.
A big issue for the city is the lack of affordable housing. More families in the south side are at risk of eviction than those who own a single-family home in the north and eastern parts of the city. According to a podcast by the Santa Fe Reporter, housing expert Daniel Werwith says the burden of the housing crisis falls largely on the south side. Zoning laws protect much of the historic downtown area from being considered for multi-unit affordable housing, and codes in developed neighborhoods permit just a single dwelling on an acre of land. Local artists' lack of access to affordable housing may mean a cultural exodus, according to Werwith. But arts organizations across the city are doing what they can to preserve the cultural life of Santa Fe. The Chainbreaker Collective is a group of activists working to provide sustainable housing and transportation. The Three Sisters Collective amplify local artists and tradition. And the Urseed Black Arts Alliance creates community for Black artists in New Mexico. The group, Keep Santa Fe Multicultural, is working to preserve a mural in the rail yard threatened by the construction of a new Vladim Contemporary Art building. The mural, created by Gilberto Guzman, Frederico Vigil, Zara Kriegstein, Rosemary Stearns, David Bradley, Linda Loma-Hoftawa, and other members of the community, is one example of the clash between community artists and art market. Activists are calling for a town hearing to discuss the construction and potential destruction of the mural and allow for community dialogue. The divide between local artists and art market is deepened by the exclusivity and cultural codes.
People didn't know how to write CVs. People didn't know how to write like letters of interest. People didn't know how to photograph their work or how to label it, right? Stuff that I've been so privileged to come up knowing.
Romero y Carver thanks his father for the knowledge of how to present himself and his work. He says he has found himself in positions where he feels tokenized, but tries to use these opportunities to connect with an audience that sees him as an other.
If this is going to be the people who will be looking at my art, right, and if this is the phenomenon that I'm worried they're going to do to me, if tokenization is the thing that I think is happening tomorrow when I put it out in the world, right, then, like, great. Like, give me your stage, and I want to talk to you about why you chose to give me the stage.
I spoke with poet Daisy Atterbury, a Santa Fe native currently based in Albuquerque. She says a big part of what needs to be done for local artists is simply to be listening.
I do think listening to organizations that are prioritizing the longer colonial history of Santa Fe and trying to bring those conversations into the public, like, that feels like a very big support for young artists, even though that connection maybe doesn't seem obvious to a lot of people.
Understanding historical traumas and fighting for continued equity is a huge part of Romero E. Carver's work. He reflects on his participation in the Ogopoga Community Altar as one of the best efforts he's seen so far. The altar, situated in the rail yard this winter, was made of wood and adobe and adorned with ceramic masks created by local artists. The collaboration was between the Earthseed Black Arts Alliance and activist group Walk the Talk Santa Fe. Participants hoped that the altar could be a site for grieving the traumas inflicted on minority groups throughout history. Organization and collaboration are key in increasing the visibility and engagement with local artists. Spaces that prioritize discussion around community issues often don't have the same motives as commercial galleries supporting a multi-billion dollar industry.
The gallery doesn't exist to make people's art visible to everyone, right? It's not an egalitarian setup. You know, it's a market and it's selling to a very specific customer.
Eliza Lutz, involved with the performance space Ghost and a musician herself, points to the wider issues of consumer expectations. With music subscription services, artists receive low compensation for their work.
As things get more convenient, as these different technologies evolve that we appreciate and we want to use and they're popular because they're great, well, how can we catch up the other element of the equation of supporting artists financially? And I think that has just sort of contributed to this idea, if I don't have to pay for it here, why would I pay for it anywhere else?
Shifting the mindset around arts compensation can be challenging. Without a pandemic, individuals can support local musicians with ticket sales. But in these tough times, performers have had to pivot in order to make a living. Lutz's band, Future Scars, will play a virtual show in April, but digital gigs have not been a sufficient source of income during the pandemic. Poet Atterbury hopes that the way people can engage with artists' work will be more supportive as the pandemic ends.
I hope that it's going to change slowly and that we are going to be able to show up for each other in different ways, ways that are just less isolated and alienated like they have been last year.
But while there is hope in the community for more visibility and diversity in the audience, Romero E. Carver speaks a truth about working in Santa Fe.
And I think that's one of the most frustrating things about doing art in Santa Fe. You realize that your art needs to resonate with upper middle class to very wealthy, usually older white people in order for it to be successful in Santa Fe, which is interesting because that demographic is not even a majority of the state.
So how do artists find the balance between financial success and creating authentic work? It's a time-old question that most artists have to make peace with in one way or another. Lutz understands this pressure, but says it's the community that keeps her going.
I don't think that I would continue to live here and do what I do without, you know, being a part of a community that is constantly working to kind of fight that onslaught.
All of the artists I spoke to mentioned Alas de Aguas, a collective founded by Israel Lopez. The group gathers local artists to create murals and other public-facing works. Vital Spaces is another organization working to provide artists with affordable studio and exhibition space. Grassroots collective action may be one of the most powerful ways to help sustain the cultural community. But ultimately, says Romero E. Carver, it's about the work.
You know, you create your audience, and so I'm trying to make work that at the end of the day makes me happy and ideally, like, does something for my community, but isn't based on appealing to a power outside of myself.